He's talking about the Eliyahu Anavi. I'd like to spend the next 3 weeks talking about Shimshon, definitely one of the more complex personalities that we come across. Thumbs up for that.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that if I was going to do this properly, I would need 4 weeks, because really you should start on Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel is the Perek of Shimshon before he was born. However, we only have 3 weeks left, so therefore we'll just give you the brief overview version of it.
So you're giving a short shrift, in other words.
Right, so Shimshon's parents, what?
Are you talking about Shimshon ben Gera?
Not Shimi ben Gera.
Shimi.
Right, this is Shimshon ben Manoah. Maybe you know him. Right?
Right.
Better known as Victor Mature.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I think it's important that we do it, because being that Denver is the home of Samsonite, the luggage, I think. Right, I think we should spend some time on Samson. I think that's the real reason behind this. The background, and it's an important background, is Shimshon's parents were childless for many years. Eventually, an angel comes to Shimshon's mother and tells her that, in fact, you're going to have a child, and this child should be a Nazir. That from the time you are pregnant, you should not go to a cemetery, you should not consume any grape products, right? You should not get any in utero haircuts. However,
that's
not
a very
right.
Weird way to put that.
Not really. I might have made that part up. But but going forward, he would be what we refer to actually nowadays is a Nazir Shimshon. This is a very rare case that, in fact, he's going to be a Nazir forever. And Mrs. Manoah comes home, tells her husband this. He's very surprised. They meet him again. He asks the Malach, can you just repeat that one time? He does. And eventually this Shimshon is born. And just the last two psukim of Perek Yud Gimel we will do, just to get the running start. Vatevet ha'isha bein, vatikra shmo Shimshon, vayigdal ha'navi yivarcha yivar Adonai. She gave birth to a child. The child's name is Shimshon. Grows up, God has blessed him. Vatachal ruach Adonai lefa'amo b'machne don bein saro ben eshta'ol. That he eventually, his name becomes well known in the Shevet of Dan, because in fact he was from Shevet Dan. As he's growing up, people are getting to know who the Shimshon fellow is. Okay. Shimshon obviously has a certain level of holiness, right? He is a Nazir Mibetan, right? That the idea being that he has to keep on a certain very high level of holiness. A Nazir is somebody who wants to remove themselves from the desires of this world and focus purely on the spiritual. That is what a Nazir's goal is supposed to be. And his parents are told from the get-go, this is what he needs to be. You would expect Shimshon to be a very spiritual person. You would expect Shimshon to be removed from the desires of the world. In fact, the Gemara tells us that if you look at Parshas Naso, at Revi'i, there are two topics that are right next to each other in the same aliyah. The first one is the topic of a sota, the unfaithful wife, and the second one is the topic of Nazir. Why are they next to each other? How are the two of them related? The Gemara tells us, Kol haroa sota bilkilkulo Nazir atzma min hayayin. If I see a woman who is a sota, if I am present in the Beis HaMikdash, when the process is happening, that should lead me to become a Nazir. I should see that this is what happens if a person chases their desires. This is what happens when a person has too much involvement in this world. Therefore, I should become a Nazir, someone who is removed from this world, someone who is removed from the desires. Right? So you would expect Shimshon, who from the day he was born and for 9 months before that was a Nazir, you would expect him to be somebody who is very removed from desires of this world. We start with Pasuk Aleph and Yud Dalet. Vayerit Shimshon Timnasa Vayar Isha V'Simnasa Mivnos Prishtim. How's that for an opening? So he goes to a place named Timnah, right? We've heard that place before. And he runs into a young lady who is not Jewish. She's Palestinian. No, not really. She's Philistine. Philistine. I just had to sneak that in. I saw this girl, and I'd like to marry her. Now, let's put the non-Jewish woman thing aside for a moment. Okay, it's an issue. We'll discuss it. But did he have any deep philosophical conversations with this woman at any point?
We might have left those out.
Right, it's not... Right, all we see is he saw her, and he said, boy, this looks like a balas chesed. No, that's probably not what's going on here, right? Right? So Shimshon is going, and he's making a statement that I'd like to marry this woman. It would seem purely on physical attractiveness. That's what it seems. And she's not Jewish. This seems to be a very problematic. So if your son came home and with this and that, how would you react?
Not happy.
Right? So that's why, you know, the Claymans and us, we've got this figured out. Our son's not coming home like this. No, sir. No, sir, ma'am. Vayomer lo avi v'imo ha'em v'vno sachecha u'v'chol am isha. So he goes and he said, and they said, Epis, you know, we've got this thing, right? We've got this JD thing. So yeah, see, you can't. There's nobody out there that you could find. Right? It's so many options. You seem to be so knowledgeable of this.
Responding to him?
So Manoah, his father, is saying to him...
There's a lot of choices.
There's a lot of gefilte fish in the sea. There's a lot of Jewish girls, you know. Why do you have to go for the swordfish? Why do you have to go for the catfish? There's so many kosher fish in the sea. Why that? Shimshon responds and says, I'd like her, thank you. Kihi Yashua Ve'enai. She looks good in my eyes.
Well, Yashua's a funny term.
Right.
She looks straight or forthright, which is not our version of who Delilah was.
Well, we're not up to Delilah.
Oh.
Right, we're not there yet.
Right, don't worry. Right? But this was another Philistine woman.
Oh, this was not her.
This was not her.
This is his first.
This is not her. Don't. I don't need you sitting around and ruining the ending for everybody. Va'aviv v'imo lo yadu ki me'adonai hi, ki so anahu mevakesh miplishtim, va'esahi plishtim moshon v'yisrael. Now, his parents didn't realize that this was all a very good thing. How is this a good thing? Because what Shimshon, this isn't a medrash, this isn't even a parish, this is the pasuk. It says, really, he had good intentions here. Because he's looking to pick a fight with the Plishtim. Because the Plishtim are ruling over B'nai Yisrael.
Who's looking to pick a fight?
Shimshon.
Shimshon.
Okay. Right.
He's going to marry into the fight?
And they would not allow it, so the whole fight would start up.
Right. So
how do we know that? How do we know that?
Because that's what we just read in verse 4.
This prince didn't know there was a good motive behind it all.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
I admit if it was my son, I'd have my doubts about it as well. And you have to remember, this is probably a surprise to them, right? It says that he's well known, he's been blessed by God, right? Right? This is somebody whose name has spread. This is somebody who's been a nazir. And all of a sudden, the last thing you expect out of him is says, Brittany. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
This is
a show fake. Right? It was a show fake. So they're heading down to meet with the Mechutanim. And...
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Tanayim.
discussing who pays for what.
Right, a flop. Right? And what do they run into? A kfir arayot. What are a kfir arayot?
Lions.
What happens? Vatzitzach alav ruach Adonai v'yishasehu kishasa hagadiv v'umu'uma ein biyado v'higidla aviv limo esa sher osa. He goes and he, with his bare hands, tears the lion apart, and he doesn't tell his parents about it. Now, what do we see from here?
He's very strong.
He's very strong, very good.
He wasn't with his parents.
Not a parent. And he wasn't with his parents, very good.
And he kept a secret.
Right? We said a pasuk ago that Vayeret Shimshon ve'aviv ve'imo timnasa, that they were all going together, and suddenly they're missing. It's just him. Right. Right. But again, but it even gets stronger when he says they probably would have noticed if he was tearing a lion apart with his bare hands. You know, they might be the quickest on the pickup, as we saw from the last paragraph with the mouth, but still, that's hard to miss. Yeah, of course, other than the fact that Hashem had him attacked by a lion. You can look at it both ways. You know, I hate to put the negative spin on it, but, you know. If I was attacked by the lion, I wouldn't be happy, even if it
was. Where does the jawbone come in?
Wait.
Isi da savranut, Bakasha. Let's catch up a little in the sources. Siv, it says in here, Vayered Shim Shon Tim Nasa. What does Vayered mean? He went down. Where else do we have Timna? Who remembers? By Yosef. What about Yosef? Yehuda. Very good. What about Yehuda? Yehuda and Tamar. But if you look there, it says, right, so again, it's interesting that it seems that this is a city which has issues with male-female relationships. Just put that out there. That's all we know about it. There it says, "Ksiv hinei chamicha oletim nasa." Right.
Depends where you're coming from.
So, is Timna up the hill or is it down the hill?
Depends where you're coming from.
So that's what. So again, so there's two girls. That's the Amar Abalaza Shimshos and Nizganabo Ksiva Yerida. Yehuda Shis Alabo Ksiva Aliyah. Said that has nothing to do with where it's located, the first approach. Ultimately, this was something bad for Shimshon. He was looking to marry a non-Jewish woman. If him, it was a Yerida, he was going down. As opposed to, if we talk about Yehuda, this is the Mashiach came out of this.
Was this where Yehuda met
Tamar,
and
yes.
He didn't know who she was?
Correct.
He didn't. Okay. Mashiach came out of this, but it still wasn't a great Gilead.
That was a wonderful Gilead Arias thing, actually. Gilead Arias is one of the finest that we have in all history. I'll just put that down for the record. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmina Omer, say Timna, I'll tell you. The second approach, this is not, there's two cities named Timna. It happens.
Right? You got to go up to, when you got to go
right, it's like Lakewood. Right, there's a big Lakewood in Colorado, and there's also sort of a small community in New Jersey, I heard. Right? That's the same idea. Right? Chad de Birita, but Chad de Valir. Rapapa Oma, Chad Timna Sahabi. Rapapa says, no, he agrees with everyone said earlier. It's only one place. The Osi my high geese in Yerida, that's my high geese in Aliyah. It's on the side of the mountain. If you're coming from the top, you've got to go down. If you're coming from the bottom, you've got to go up.
That's the practical approach.
Okay. We,
the approach that says it was a bad thing belies the very first pasuk saying this was Hashem's plan.
Huh?
That they didn't know that there's a good thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not that it was Hashem's plan. That he was doing this for the right reasons. Right? Now, the road to where is paved with good intentions?
The road to Timnah, I think.
The road to Timnah. Oh, that's one of my favorite movies, The Road to Timnah. A classic.
Yehuda has bad intentions.
Well,
not necessarily.
No, we assume not. Let's lay off of Yehuda for the time being. This isn't the Yehuda discussion. But we assume
he went to visit a prostitute. That's what he was about.
He says that's a bad thing. I'll remember that, Alex. He's the oldest profession, very honorable and old profession.
We'll discuss Rachel at a different time. Okay, we had this little bump on the road. He goes and he now meets with the Mechutanim. He's interested. Very odd statement. So he's going back again. So they went and they met the Mechutanim. They worked out whatever had to be worked out. Now they're coming back from the Chasna. He's going to the Chasna. Again, he runs by the lion. But the lion, at this point, is suffering from a severe case of death. Chronic, I would say. But not only that, but inside of the lion, inside the carcass of the lion, there is honey. Why is that relevant to our story?
It's an odd thing.
It's an odd comment. We don't know why the lion story was relevant, and now we also don't know why the follow-up is relevant.
So I get it a little different, but I'm just asking. So he went, he met them for the first time after seeing her once, and they're married?
Yeah. Okay. It's a known, it's a well-known fact that Shimshon was Hasidish. All right, Irving, let's hear the question.
Why should Abby did he get all this suffering? He has nothing going for him. He wasn't learning. He didn't do anything. He was a strong man. That's it.
Let me ask you the following question. I don't know why.
You can ask me.
Okay, I will ask that. Thank you for giving me the impression. Why do you think he wasn't learned? What is your source? Did you know him personally?
He was going around with all those women and all those...
We don't know that. All we know is that at a certain age, he told his parents he wants to marry the Shabbat.
Right.
Before that, he was
the best guy in Panovich before that.
Wasn't he all the time? Like, from the time he was weaned, wasn't he... Shmuel. That was Shmuel.
Okay. We can edit, don't worry. I think it's a little off the topic, but one could still be a Nazir nowadays. And yes, Yitzchak is correct that there was a well-known Nazir in the last century. Okay, so Vayiridehu el kapav, vayerach haloch v'achol, vayerach el aviv v'elibo, vayitin lahem v'yochelu, v'lo higid lahem, ki migvias aryeh rada hadvash. So he goes and he eats the honey himself, goes, meets with his parents again. Again, they are not around for this. And he says, guess what I got for you? I got picked up some honey on the way, it's really yummy. And they eat it as well, but he doesn't tell them that it's a byproduct of dead lions. Vayered avihu el ha'isha vayas shimshon mishter ki chen yasu ha'bukhurim. Okay, now they're having a little bit of a party, a bachelor party. That was the minig. Before you get married, you had a party.
But it was already married.
Exactly.
No, they get married. They just
came in the chasana.
I said tonight. We have an audio record of what has been spoken here.
That is true.
And knowing that well, I still stand by that. I believe what I said that they had tenayim, that they had a chasana. Again. Where'd that come from? Irving told you that. No, he wasn't.
Let's play telephone.
Be better.
Right. They were not living together in the biblical sense, or even in the non-biblical sense. Vayihi kirosam osam vayichush hoshim meriim vayihi yitom. So he had a big party. He had 30 people with him. 30 close friends. Vayomahem shimsho, achuda norachem chida, im hagel tagidu osari, shiv as yimei hamishteh, umatzasem, vinasati rachem shrosim sadinim vashroshim chalifos begadim. It says, in the event that I'm going to give you a riddle, and if you could answer this riddle, I'm going to pay you, each of you will get, or you'll, it's 30 of those, you'll probably each get one, you know, certain valuable clothing.
Wait, who's saying this?
Shimshon. Shimshon. No. Shim Shim begadim, chuda chidascha v'dishmena. Okay, sounds like a deal.
What did you just
say? I said that. He said, in the event that I give you, if I say a riddle and you figure it out, I'll pay you.
Yeah.
If you can't figure it out, you'll pay me.
So is this the 30 guys that are with him,
Alex,
or
the 30 guys
at the party?
I'm not sure what the difference between those two options were.
No, because he brought people with him, but there might be people from.
No, it seems
just his guys.
The party.
It's his guys. Okay. Him?
Vayomer lehem, me ha'ochel yotza ma'achol, me oz yotza masok, lo yachura agid hachida shlosh yasyamim. So he says to them, okay, from the food, from that which eats, food came out, from that which is strong, came out sweet.
Mm.
Marsha, what do you think it is? On the first guess, she gets it. It's unbelievable.
What?
All right, we're just gonna. If baklava is on the board, you take it all.
Could you repeat out how it's being how you would translate with the.
So yeah, but I mean, you have an English translation in front of you. I'll note for the record.
Okay.
But despite that,
read that.
You can if you'd like.
Well, I did, and it doesn't make sense to me. Out of the eater came forth food, which is a weird translation.
Well, the word eater is a little weird.
Right. So what?
We said
from
that,
the one who eats.
That's what we said.
Came out
right.
Food and out of the strong came more sweetness. I got that part, but
okay.
It was out of the eater didn't make
right.
Sense.
So the question is, who is the eater?
The lion is the eater.
I understand.
The lion
the
is the answer?
Right.
The answer is,
I got honey from a lion.
Uh-huh.
From a dead one that I tore apart.
And who's going to guess that? Because it's ridiculous.
Well, it seems at this point nobody, actually. So let's catch up on the sources a little bit. So, well,
there were a lot of odds here. Right. He was just going to get 3 changes of clothes. He was going to give 30 people.
No, he's going to get 30.
30.
30.
We gave you a book.
You have to be able to read.
that's much. Okay, let's catch up on the sources a little bit. Now, I'll just comment that this definitely, on a basic level, explains to us why we heard the story about the lion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because or else we think it's baklava or something. We would have no idea. It's just... Interesting, we'll just take a quick look at the Tosefta, Lieberman edition. So, the word arelim was what is the way the Shimshon's father referred to the family of the young lady who's interested, right? So there's a question how broad of a word that is. Probably not that relevant. We'll skip it for now. But that's a Tosefta. Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayechi. So, Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov gives blessings to all the sons. One of the sons is done. What does it say?
He's done.
What does he say? You're allowed to look on the board if you want. It should be tipped off there. Right? Wrong one.
Like, yeah, but that doesn't
right? Dun, right. It says that Dun is a snake on the road.
That's not what we have up there.
Right, we have Dun Yadina. So he Dun Nachash Alei Derech.
Which source are you on?
4. Ma Nachash Ze Motzui Ben Hanashim Kach Shimshon Ben Manach Motzui Ben Hanashim. Who are we referring to as Shimshon? And this isn't the Rashi you remember. He says, why is he a snake? Because just like snakes hang out with women.
Reference to Chava.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Right? So too, Shimshon had this problem. Ma nechosh nesar b'shvua, kach Shimshon b'menoch nesar b'shvua. Just like the snake is punished through God's swears, you're not, whatever, this is what's going to be with you. So too, Shimshon is limited by God saying, this is what you can't do. Vayomam Shimshon hishavuli, ma nachar zeh, kol kocho eno el beroshu, kach Shimshon im gachachto visarmi menu kochi. Just like the strength of the snake is in its head, so too, Shimshon, if you cut his hair, it's over. Ma nachash zeh risu mechalka v'achar amisa, kach yu hamesim asher hamis b'mosam. Just like a snake, after it bites you, it will continue to hurt you, even after you kill the snake. So too, we'll see Shimshon continues to kill people after he's dead. Anoshech ikvesus kar l'Shimshon v'yischak lanu. This is referring to two parakim from there. Omer Rav Levi, k'siv al hagag k'shoshes halafim. This is talking about the end. So when we're talking here about the bracha that's given to Dan, it's referring to Shimshon. That's what the Medrash keeps on saying.
Can you repeat the bracha? Or give
Yehi Dan nachash alei derech shvifon
alei esev.
Alei Esef Hazina. Alei Orech. Alei Orech.
Give me a shortened version.
He's a snake.
Is Don is a snake?
Yes.
Wow.
There you
That's
go.
That's a bracha.
What?
That's supposed to be a bracha?
Yeah.
Not a great bracha.
So?
Well, not all of them were good.
No, that was a good one.
God did you get Dan as a bracha? Who good, okay.
So, finally says, why did he say this? The last line, Lefisha Yaakov Vina Roa also, V'sover Boshe Hu Melech HaMashiach. Yaakov Avinu was able to see in prophecy Shimshon and say, you know what? That guy's going to be the Mashiach. He was convinced that Shimshon was going to be the Mashiach. He had all what it took to be Mashiach.
But Yaakov knew when Mashiach would come, and that was not during Shimshon.
Kaven Shavro Oso Shemes Omar Avzeh Mes Lishuos Kivisi Hashem. He says, he died. Then the next pasuk is, God, we need your help. Interesting, not necessarily related to this, but a general comment. It was seen for there that when a person dies, he's no longer in the running to be the Mashiach anymore.
Is there anyone you're referring to when you say
that? Yeah, Yashka. Baklava. So. So, you have to understand, when we look into Shimshon, to write him off as someone who's got a really big Yetzer Hara and big muscles.
And then call him Mashiach.
But obviously, Yaakov Avinu did not see it that way. The fact that after this entire discussion, Yaakov Avinu said, this guy's Mashiach, and he's shocked when he isn't.
Wasn't there a parish that Yaakov was going to reveal who Mashiach was in that
Hashem? That's a Rashi.
So that goes against this?
What?
Does that go against this?
No.
So this is who he was going to reveal us?
No, he obviously, you know, the assumption is when he realized it wasn't this one, so he found the next one.
Yeah.
He took the next option.
Got it.
So, as we begin the discussion of Shimshon, you can't just write him off as a guy who was chasing his Yetzer Hara. Because there's no way Yaakov Avinu would have fallen for that. Therefore, though, you've got, on the other hand, the Gemara does not take such a positive approach to Shimshon. Looking at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it says, Ve'yomar Shmuel el ha'am Hashem, asher osa es Moshe ves Aaron. Ve'omar v'yishach Hashem es Rubal ves Bedon ves Yiftach ve'es Shmuel. When Shmuel is giving his final goodbye speech, he says, you've been sent Shoftim over the years. Who have you been sent? Yerubal, Bedan, Yiftach, and Shmuel. Who are these people? Yerubal, Zegidon. V'av nikra Shmuel Yerubal, she'asa meriva im habal. Now, people know the story of Gideon?
Wasn't he like found chopping wheat or something?
He was found, right? He was found actually crushing wheat. But that probably wasn't the highlight. That was just the beginning of the career. He fought a great battle. He saved Bnei Yisrael in a very difficult time. But ultimately, it seems...
He smote 300 men, he smote the Midianites.
Correct. He smote the Midianites. But in the end, he got a little involved in Avodah Zarah, it seems.
Is he a king? Is he a prophet?
He's a shofet. He's a judge.
They tried to make him king, but he refused the crown.
Right.
Sounds like he wasn't.
Okay, so again, so Gideon, not the best we've ever had. Bedon, who's Bedon? There's Shimshon. V'ram nikar shmo Bedon. The Asim Bedon. Shimshon is Bedon. Why? Because he came from Dan. Yiftach. Kimashmo. V'amar Moshe v'arim b'kolon avu shmo b'karishmo. Now, it says that Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav, Shmuel Kohanav, we say that by Kabbalah Shabbos, Pitul Tehillim. Shakra kosev shosha kari olam kishosha chomer olam. Three of the worst leaders we ever had are compared to the three of the greatest leaders we've ever had. Lomarach, Yerubal b'daro kimoshe b'daro. Yerubal, even though he had an issue with Avodah Zarah, you treat him like you treat Moshe. Bedon Bedaro, Ka'aron Bedaro. Shimshon, even though it seems he has an issue with
women.
Gili Arias, treat him like he was Aaron. Yiftach Bedaro, he had an issue with?
Killing his daughter.
Right?
What do you call Gili Arias?
Manga Shiksa.
That's not Gili Arias, is it?
Kanayim Pogimbo. Tell it to Pinchas.
Be a Kanat.
Wait,
so who's your to Shmuel, right? So you see here that the Medrash puts Shimshon up there with Mashiach, as opposed to the Gemara puts him with. No, he puts him together with Yiftach and Gideon. You have to treat him that way. You have to give him the same respect. Right, but in terms of, he said they're from the Shlosha Kaleolim, three of the worst we've ever had. We have one guy's got a problem with Gilead Rice, one who's got a problem with Shvichas Damim, and one who's a problem with Avodah Zarah. Right.
There's definitely was an easy character, but it's a little bit strong to compare him to those two.
So let me just, for the record, say it's now Machokas between the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah and Shlomo Free. Okay, good. Good. As I like to say in a case like this, baklava.
It's going to be the rest of the summer. It's
oh, yes.
I don't
years to come.
I don't understand why
they would compare him in this way.
What? Why is he compared in this way?
What bothered you about it? You'll see him as someone who's having issues here?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm saying...
Okay, so...
I do see him as someone who's having issues, but to compare him as one of our three great leaders seems odd to me.
Three worst leaders. You made the list.
Right, but...
Right, no, the Gemara is saying that you have to have respect for whoever your leader is.
Okay.
Even if they're this great or they're this rotten.
Why don't we have, Menasha and Achav up there?
Kasha.
These are the shows.
Okay. The Rambam, in his Mishneh Torah, which is a halachic work, finds it necessary to try to explain to us what's going on with Shimshon here. Actually, he says there are two great leaders that seem to have this problem. Who else would you say has
Shlomo HaMelech.
Shlomo HaMelech.
700
ones. Bathsheba was Jewish.
Bas Paro,
among many others, it would seem. So the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Issurei Biyah, Al Yaga al Datcha says Shimshon Hamashiach Yisrael O Shlomo Melech Yisrael Shniki Yedid Hashem Nasa Nasa Nochias Begiyusim. Don't think for a second that Shlomo or Shimshon married a non-Jewish woman. Ela Soda Dover Kachli. This is the secret. You got to promise you're not going to tell anybody. She Amitzah Nachona Kishayavo Hager, oh, Gioris, this guy, you both can achrov shame be gone moments, yito, obishvil, srorash, yiskolo, obibia pachabari konis ladas. When someone shows up in the Beis Din and they say, I'd like to convert. So you have to ask them, well, why? If they're doing it for an inappropriate reason, I'm doing it because I want to marry this girl, somebody. And her father said, I got to be Jewish. I'm doing it because I hear, you know, I read the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I want to get in on this, make a few dollars, right? You know, there are various reasons. Right now, I own a restaurant. I'm paying for a mashgiach full time. If I convert, I can mashgiach myself. I can save money on this. But there are a lot of reasons why people would want to convert. Some of them you wouldn't believe.
Is that considered appropriate?
None of those three on the list are considered appropriate.
There you go.
So he says, and the Rambam said, "Im ishu bot gemachrev shema ein of nasa be ishu yehudis." If he's a man, maybe he met a nice Jewish girl. "Im ishahi bot gem shema ein nasa be bachri bechura Yisrael." Maybe he met a nice Jewish. She met a nice Jewish boy. "Im ro nipsa hem ira modim hem kovet all torahs v'torach sheyesh v'asiyasim al amei aratzos kadei sheyafrishum." In the event everything seems to check out, well, then he starts saying to them, this isn't so easy. You try to talk them out of it. You explain to them what are the obligations involved. In kivru v'lo pirshu u'ru'u o'son she'chozru me'ava m'kabon o'son. She'ne v'ater mitzameses hilo leches ato v'atechto v'abu o'leo. Okay, if it's good, then you convert them. L'fichach, hence. Lo kivru Beis Din gerim yimei David u'shlomo. In the days of David u'shlomo, they shut down the Beis Dins. Why? David was running around killing all the local non-Jews.
They were in a converted affair.
Yep, that made good sense, right? So therefore, the odds are anyone is going to convert. It's not for good reasons. B'mei Shlomo, Shem v'Shul Hamachus v'Hatova v'Agduva Shem b'Yisrael Chazru. In the time of Shlomo, things were great.
So they want to just become part of the people,
right?
Because it's great.
If someone's going to accept this for any one of those reasons, that's not a ger tzedek. What would happen? Unqualified Beis Dins were still in business in those days.
Unqualified?
Unqualified, because the qualified Beis Dins were not accepting. So what do you do now? Right, so I go, someone comes and they converted. Where did you convert? The Beis Din's closed. I converted, I found I showed up in Shul one day during the Haftarah, and there were three guys drinking schnapps in the back, right?
I asked them to be the
Kiddush Club, and they said, okay, we'll be Megayer you. So what do you do with them? You just automatically assume...
They went through everything. They went through the mikvah.
Right, they went to the mikvah. They did a bris in the back of the shul. They whatever, if necessary. Right, they go, and now they...
So now you check them out. You see if they're going to adhere to what they need.
Right, so obviously it was inappropriate what was done, but now we have to sit and wait, see what happens. Tazayim, ofishi gir shlomo noshim v'nosam. So Shlomo went, and he converted women in order to marry them. Shimshon also converted the women and then married them.
Were they baked in themselves?
They picked up two other guys as well. Right? Not so far to find. And these women were not converting out of great philosophical deep thoughts that they had. They didn't go through the standard basin. So the Pasuk says that they were not Jewish. They referred them as non-Jews. And in hindsight, it was a bad idea. Shlomo's wise ways, the Pesukim tell us, remained Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So, Rambam is of the opinion that Shimshon would never marry a non-Jewish woman. However, he married non-Jewish women who converted with a suboptimal conversion, and that's why we refer to it this way.
So we do we call that conversion a good conversion? good conversion, even though it's a sub.
So it seems not that way.
It's minimal.
Right? It seems not that
very
way.
Very minimal.
Right? This is, of course, a very relevant halacha for modern days. The Radak is very surprised by the whole thing. The Radak said, "Dish mitzvah hech misha tziva rav habari yisbarach liyos kedushoso min abetam." I don't get it. This guy, as we said from the beginning, such a high level of kedusha, of holiness. Ech nitba bibnos plishtim. How did this happen? They ended up with Philistine women. Here's a long list coming up if you haven't caught on yet. The Radak says he converted them, and in fact, they were wonderful edelmadels. That's a direct quote.
Where does that come from? I mean,
why? That's the opinion of the Radak.
Wait, Shlomo converted them or Shimshon?
Shimshon.
So he's not talking about Shlomo?
We're not talking about Shlomo now. Right? No, this is the Radak.
So that's his opinion. Since
he
did it.
Again, Rambam thinks they converted them.
It's not a sub. It's not
he's
a sub.
Because he was such a holy guy, it must have been a good conversion.
What?
Like that.
Yeah.
Something like
that. That's basically what seems to be, that seems to be the logic that he's going through.
Is this situation different from a guy like Esther, where they did something in order to
save clothes, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, he killed all these people. Wasn't that beneficial?
So let's look at the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, in number 8, has a third approach. The Abarbanel says, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa Matzanu Pamim Rabos Misipurei Hanaviim Shayu Osim Pamim Davar Mashalo Kedas. We see that Nevi'im do things that are not exactly the way they seem to should be. So it should be good for God in the end. But what's the example he gives? Interesting, an example we've had already this summer. Kenyan Elio Bahara Carmel. Sha'avra al dasla hakri babama. Right? What gave him a right? There was the Beis Hamikdash was open. He couldn't. How was he bringing carbonos on Hara Carmel?
But
Eliyahu? In the big picture, he had the right to make this decision. I can't make the decision, you can't make the decision, but he could. So on the one hand, he does seem, the Barbadel seems to be taking your approach. That this was necessary, maybe, you know, when we talk about Yael, we talk about Esther, so Hatzalas Kal Yisrael. Might not be that far, but it's on the way. It's not to say on the one hand, it's good. On the other hand, according to the Abarbanel, did these women convert?
Yeah. The Abarbanel?
Going to the Abarbanel.
No, going to Abarbanel?
No!
It was not a good
Gairus. Right. No, it wasn't a Gairus at all. According to Abarbanel, he didn't even try it. So it's interesting in terms of what happened here, just shot, we have a spectrum. Right? We have the Radak on the one end who says,
yes,
perfect Gairuses. Right? We have the Rambam says, close but no cigar.
Right.
And yeah, the Abarbanel says, not even close.
No way.
No interest whatsoever. However, the Abarbanel really, to a certain extent, really makes him look best.
There's a greater picture.
There's a greater good, as opposed to the Rambam, who's saying, you know, yeah, he tried, didn't work, because it was all for a bad reason. So you have a very, really, among the Rishonim, a very wide spectrum of opinions as to what's going on here, practically. The Malbim will answer a question we raised earlier, and he says, what happened to his parents with the lion?
Yeah, they're in, they're out, they're there, they're not there. What's weird? That's weird.
Here, they're there. It's like
exactly.
It's like the Heffalump song. You know?
Exactly.
Right. So the Malbim says, Hashelot, halo halach im avi v'imo b'yachad, eich pagagok kfir b'yosel levado ash avi imo lo yadu mizeh. He said they were going together. How far could his parents have been that he didn't realize he got attacked by a lion?
He walks fast.
Or really slow.
Also, he'd have been...
it would also work.
He'd been a little... He might have looked a little bloody after he was done with this.
Right. Is that dead lion I smell?
Something's weird.
So it's very interesting.
It was a group of lions, wasn't it? It was a group of lions. It was already yoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's
what
one...
What happened to the rest of them?
They saw what happened to the first one. They hightailed it out of there is what happened. So it's referred to as the vineyards of Timnah. So he says it would seem at the time it was the time that the grapes were growing. The Gemara tells us that a Nazir should avoid vineyards lest he loath go eat grapes.
So he said, different ways?
So that's, he said that's what would happen.
Oh, that's how they got split.
Right. His parents could work through the vineyard without a problem. He had to take the long way home. Right, so that's why that happened. Okay. So now the bet is on. We're back to the idea that let's revisit the riddle. Okay. The question is, what do you get when you mix sugar? No, I'm sorry. It's something else. Whatever it was. Okay. There's something about the eater and the ED.
The
eater.
Right. The strong and the sweet.
Right. Dvash vala oketz. Oh, that was maybe the answer. Sorry. So, here they're trying to figure this out. Three days they can't figure it out. And how would they?
Now they seem to be married.
Right, correct. This was Sheva Brachas. This is the seventh day of Sheva Brachas. What I read was as follows. They came to Mrs. Shimshon and said, either you get this information for us or we're going to burn you and your father's house. Because what
the people who want to figure out the riddle.
People on the short end of the bet.
They
can't come up with the answer. They said, either you get us the answer or you're going to pay for this. So he says to her, so as using her feminine wiles, she says to Shimshon, you don't really love me.
What? Otherwise, you would tell me the riddle.
Because if you really loved me, you would tell me what the riddle is, right? He says, I didn't tell my mom, I didn't tell my dad. I'm sure not telling you, sweetheart.
Yeah, it's a really
great man.
No,
but she was getting they
came to her.
Right.
But they're threatening to kill her and her...
And her family.
And her family.
Yes.
But it seems to me that why did he even tell them the riddle? He knew they wouldn't get it. He knew he would tell his wife. He knew they would kill her. And he knew he'd take revenge.
Well, he
isn't
didn't
that
know
the story?
He didn't
know
her.
So the answer, perhaps, is yes. He just wants an excuse to kill them.
How did he know? Why would he know what?
He knew they wouldn't get it.
So let's see what happens. Let's let it play out first, okay? Poor Patty's sitting on the edge of her seat here. Batefk olav shivas yamim asher ha yalehem ha-mishter. Vahi vayom ha-shvi vayagid rog hi-hitzi. Tatuhu vategar afidu rivnei amram. 7 days she's sitting, she's crying, and mach me sugar shine. Right? So,
it's
crazy already. And finally, on the seventh day, he says, okay, here it is. And she, of course, passes the information along. Vayomero anshe ha'ir bayom ha'shvi b'term yevo ha'charso. Ma matok mi dvash, uba oz mi ari. They come to him and they say, ah, what is stronger than a lion and what is sweeter than honey? And he said, had you not plowed with my calf, you would have never known that.
Meaning the fact that you went to my wife.
I think that's exactly what they meant. How does he react to this?
Sounds really bad.
Batitzlach alav ruach Adonai vayered Ashkelon. Vayach mehem shloshim ish vaykach as chalitzosam vayitem achalifos namagide achida vayicharapo vayal beis avihu. He goes to Ashkelon. Ashkelon is one of the five cities of the Plishtim. Right, the five cities are? See how many can we get? Well, Ashkelon, Ashdod,
Gat,
very good. Right? Right? Ekron? Right?
Wasn't Azza one of them?
Very good. Azza. Absolutely.
Could have been in the Chidonah Tanakh.
There it is. There is. Israelis always know Tanakh. That's what it comes down to. That's how it all. Right?
That's good.
So, yeah, it's been a few years. He still remembers a little bit. So he goes to Ashkelon, takes the opportunity to kill 30 Plishtim. With that, he removes their shirts and says, here, I think this is what I owed you. And with that, he picks up and goes home because he thinks that this marriage isn't really working. With that, his wife goes and marries somebody else.
They got a divorce, right?
No.
No?
No. So again, if she's not Jewish, they didn't really get a marriage either. Halachically. So... that's one way of
learning.
She was
just a tool.
She was a tool. The numbers, I'm surprised no one caught me on this. The numbers just totally didn't work out there.
30-30?
No.
That,
on what?
Yeah, I got that.
What?
It was 3 days into the Mishnah. She begged for 7 days. The whole thing didn't work.
Right.
So
and on the seventh day.
You're talking about the time.
It was Shabbos, the seventh day.
They had to guess it in what period of time?
They had a week.
They had 7 days. Oh. For 3 days, they tried unsuccessfully. Mm-hmm. Then they approached her. Then she nagged
cries.
Him for 7 days.
So that means he's already passed the.
So we're now.
And then he's already passed the deadline of. It was into the 10th day.
Well, that's
according
why he
to
killed
logic.
Them all because they didn't get the riddle in time.
He didn't kill them. He killed other
people. Everybody brings in their personal expertise to the table here, and that's what makes this show so wonderful. Number 10 is a quick note in the Shulchan Aruch. In terms of the bet, Yesh mi she'omer she'mesachik b'kubya im ha'ovei kochavim ein bo mishum gezel. Some people say you're allowed to place a bet if your bookie is not Jewish.
Las Vegas, basically.
What? No, because they're all Jewish. They're all...
No, not the Sheldon Adelson's casino.
Right.
The other ones you can go.
Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn is, I think, is also my Anshe Shlomayni.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
The Venetian is definitely...
from unser Eigener.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying.
Rabbi,
Kirk Kirkorian, a Kirk Kirkorian, Olav Shalom.
Did you say you can only place a bet if your bookie is Jewish or is not Jewish?
Not Jewish.
Not the bookie. Yes, the bookie. I'm paying
but
the bookie.
You're betting against.
The house. Right, the bookie. I'm paying against the bookie. Okay, the Radak says as follows: by Yom Hashvi'i, Yom Shabbos Haya, Yom Revi'i, Yom Ha'chupa. So when it says the seventh day, it meant the seventh day is really the fourth day, because it was after, so it says Tuesday. It doesn't mean that she cried for 7 days; she cried for the rest of Sheva Brachas. Right? So that's what it means. So that's how the numbers work out. It wasn't 3 plus 7 equals 7, but rather it's 3 plus 4 equals 7. That's the idea. Ibn Ezra says, Vayhi bayom ha-shvi'i tachas ha-revi'i. So he seems to say that you know, it was the seventh day, instead of what should have been the fourth day, they got a few extra days he gave them. A Barbanel, Anochu Masha Kosov b'sefer Diktika Shalosh Shol Shimshon Chida Hazos Shivas Yomim Kodesh Shivas Yomei Mishta. He says, "No, it didn't start at the Chasana; it started a week early." V'zeh Etzri Dover Nochu. That's for sure. Rofisha Avi Shimshon Hayi Osa Mishta V'Yadur Sheyitzdarch Shivas Yomim Kodesh V'Mishta Achina. Shimshon wasn't necessarily ready to be a Chasana. He needed a few days before he had to prepare. Bakasa Sefer Shebevo Nischabu Olav Shloshim Hamareim Vohu Miyad Vovo Shalom Hachida. He has to write at the beginning before the wedding. He didn't say you've got 7 days. You've got until the end of the 7 days, which would be the Shavuot brachas. But Omer mikan ad shivas yomim. Avol Omer shivas yomei hamishta sheimei osa yom arba asar yom. Vehem shivas yomim kodem yomei hamishta. Shivas yomei hamishta asol lezeh pratei she. Shivas Yimei HaMishta. So everyone tries to work this out, but that's how it works.
So why would there be Sheva Bracha if she's not Jewish?
What?
Why would there be Sheva Bracha if she's not
Jewish?
There was a lot
of Rabbanim. He needed to give kibbutz to
everybody.
Practically.
So the 30 people he killed, like 30 random people, or 30 people that did something?
They were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
They were
trying to kill the people that
racial profiling.
What?
Why didn't he kill the 30 that threatened his wife versus 30?
They were his friends.
He owes them.
That would look bad.
He
owed the guy from the box.
30 plishtim schleppers on the street, and he said, I like your shirts.
Where'd you buy that shirt?
I think it goes back to Graham's original.
Shimshon is not a simple character. I think we, after the first part, I think we can get, on the one hand, right, he seems to have an anger issue, right? He seems to have a desire issue, and he also seems to be potentially Mashiach. So going forward, as the story plays out, we have to try to see if at some point we can get a handle as to what's going on here with Shimshon. Again, just for the opening part, we see that this is not going to be a simple.
I think Graham's question is also a good point, because it seems that it's a setup from the start.
Right. But that's what we said. The whole reason he married her was to get an excuse to kill 30 guys.
Yeah. So, but why do you say it's an anger issue? If...